Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We begin by going behind the headlines. We've had a lot of exposure to television ads in the Illinois governor's race. That's because the major candidates have a lot of money to spend. Will money talk in the March 20th primary? We'll discuss it with Amanda Vinicky, correspondent for WTTW Television's Chicago Tonight. Amanda, so nice to talk to you again.
It is my pleasure.
We'll talk about campaign specifics in a moment, but the overriding story so far in the campaign has been the amount of money that's being spent. It's almost outrageous.
I'm going to take away the almost. Most reasonable people, and if you're like me where you're, you know, checking to make sure that your checking account has enough to pay off the credit card bill, it is purely outrageous and on track to be potentially the most expensive governor's race in the nation ever. So, yes, there certainly is a lot of money. Of course, we've seen that previously out of Governor Bruce Rauner, and he's throwing a lot of money toward ads again. What is remarkable about it is that thus far, he can be drowned out, and if in fact, particularly, J.B. Pritzker does get to the general election, the front runner, at least for now, still the front runner in the Democratic primary, who is, as I noted, J.B. Pritzker, an heir to the Hyatt hotel chain, has even more money that he could put into this race, and thus far has put in upwards of $40 million. So I don't live downstate right now, don't know exactly what ads you're seeing, but by and large, it would, if you could watch TV, if you live anywhere outside of Chicago and think that it is right now already a general race between Rauner and Pritzker, when in fact it is just the primary and both have challenges, particularly Pritzker from several other Democrats, and polls show that they're gaining on him.
Gaining on him, but I think most people are considering both him and Rauner to be the front runner, certainly at this point.
Certainly at this point. Again, I try and talk to people and just casually hear people that say they think that, yeah, Pritzker is going to run away with it. But we now, this week, in fact, have seen polls that show Senator Daniel Biss in the second place position, really, really on Pritzker's heels, like within 3 or 4 points of Pritzker. That is pretty darn close, particularly considering how much money Pritzker has put in that this has nowhere near that and hasn't really even gone up or is just starting really in downstate television, where the polls show he is really lacking. He's seen that surge by and large in Chicago, and all the more after this week, because we had some pretty damning conversations released that were recorded on an FBI wiretap of Rod Blagojevich's phone back about a decade ago, where Blagojevich was talking with J.B. Pritzker. The Chicago Tribune getting a hold somehow, we don't know how, we don't know when, but of those conversations and publishing them this week, and that has set off quite a firestorm within Democrats, particularly within the black community, and that surely is going to be a hit for Pritzker going forward.
That's because he made some racially insensitive remarks in this conversation. The conversation dealing, of course, with the thing that got Blagojevich in so much trouble, finding someone to fill the vacancy left by Barack Obama's move to the U.S. Senate.
Well, yeah, so it was when Obama was president, they needed to fill his Senate.
Bigger part, of course.
And so Pritzker having a lot of conversations with Blagojevich, it needs to be pointed out, at a time that it was well known Blagojevich had the eye of federal investigators, or at the very least the attorney general here in Illinois. Pritzker having private conversations with him, and the offensive comments were things such as calling the African-American, at the time, president of the state Senate, quote, crass, and speaking in some fairly blunt terms there, also saying that, you know, it seems like there was a lot of pressure to appoint an African-American to that seat, and not a lot of conversations about what would serve best the Illinois public or the African-American community, if in fact that were to be the case. replacing Obama with another individual of African-American origins, but instead a lot of true political talk in calling the very popular Secretary of State, Jesse White, Pritzker pushing him, saying at a press conference this week at which Pritzker apologized, saying, "I wasn't my best self, regret parts of that conversation, but as I did then, I think now that Jesse White would make a great U.S. senator." How Pritzker termed it on that phone call was that White was, quote, "the least offensive."
Boy, it can't possibly be helpful, regardless whether it's a primary voter. If he makes it to the general, can't be helpful to him.
This is going to weigh on Pritzker, I think, no matter what. We have definitely seen him in damage control, a lot of visits with black pastors. I should point out that Jesse White says Pritzker apologized and he forgives him. Emil Jones not taking that tact at all and saying that Pritzker should step down. So this is an opportunity that BIS is trying to capitalize on very much, saying that it shows the identity politics that are playing and not only is offensive to black voters and residents of Illinois, but in general to Illinoisans that perceive there to be a political machine made of wealthy, rich, often white men, and this conversation plays that out. So we will see if, in fact, Pritzker is able to maintain that front-runner status. He does have the money that he'll surely can has. There's no stopping what he can do to try to help himself, at least in overcoming that image with voters and continuing to release both positive ads, and now he's out with negative ads as well that are going after this.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about the negativity that comes into the ads, as they so often do. The governor is calling his rival, Gene Ives, Democratic House Speaker Madigan. That's his favorite candidate, which is doesn't make a lot of sense unless you want to tarnish someone.
Exactly. So that he's using an argument that was made and it continues to be made against Bruce Rauner, and that is that his obsession really with Madigan as the man who has prevented his agenda and is trapping Illinois. We do see that Madigan is quite unpopular in any sort of polls, but he's not running statewide. Rauner is. Jeannie Ives at the one, it should be noted, forum where she and Rauner were sitting next to each other, and that was before the Chicago Tribune editorial board, because Rauner's trying to basically ignore her until this ad, refusing to do any debates with her. But Ives saying that, no, I can get along with Democrats in a way that Rauner can't. There's a lot that observers would find generally laughable about either of those statements. Ives is somebody who does not necessarily have the reputation of a go-along, get-along, reach-across-the-aisle sort of figure, and therefore, no, is not at all close with Mike Madigan. And so despite what that Rauner ad is trying to tell you, but it very much fits in with that pattern of Rauner trying to demonize Michael Madigan and trying to demonize any opponents of his by tying them to Michael Madigan. And he's doing that, of course, because Ives out a week ago today, actually, with an ad all her own.
The long budget crisis in Illinois, is that playing any kind of a significant role in this campaign to this point?
You know, you would think so.
Yeah.
And yet, the answer thus far, no, not really. It's, again, so much of this, sadly, I think, in my opinion, is really driven by commercials, by what people see in those close 30-second, 60-second snippets. Clearly, the budget has to weigh into voters' minds, and those who are hurt by it, who lost their jobs from it, who are just frustrated in general with where the state has gone and feel like Rauner has not made good on the promises that he ran on. So yes, there's certainly an element of that that is underlying the conversation, but you have all of the Democrats that are running and trying to fill the seat that Rauner now holds, be it Pritzker, Biss. You also have Chris Kennedy, and then down in the St. Louis area, the Madison County School Superintendent Bob Diber, of course, who hasn't really gained much traction when you look at the polling. Really, it's a race between Pritzker, Biss, and perhaps Kennedy at this point in time. They all agree that Rauner has been bad for the state. So to some degree, yeah, the conversation is the budget and what are they going to do about it, but there's so much agreement on that end that it's not that. It has been ads, and we'll see if, now, the question being, will Rauner be the nominee? Of course, the thought is that, yes, he's going to run away with it, but Ives, again, really surging because of this very controversial commercial that she is running, in which it features, for example, a woman saying, "Thank you, Bruce Rauner, for the taxpayers paying for my abortions," plural. She also features a man who has sort of grown a beard there, speaks in a low voice, wearing a dress. Ive says she doesn't know why that is offensive. Transgender individual saying, of course that is offensive. That is not an accurate portrayal of either the measure that she, of which she is speaking and trying to blame Rauner for signing into law, or of an accurate depiction of how transgender individuals dress, behave, look, and sound.
Well, Illinois politics is always interesting, and it's certainly so, again, this year, as you've indicated. You haven't mentioned the Nazi who's running for Congress unopposed in the primary.
Yeah, that is in the 3rd District, so right outside of Chicago in the western suburbs, really. He has a clear path to the GOP nomination. This is something that it appears the Republican Party just went unnoticed, or perhaps didn't care enough. We don't know, to put an opponent up against this man, Arthur Jones. He's previously run for office, never had any success. And let's be clear, he doesn't this time either. Even if, and it appears, frankly, when he captures the GOP nomination, that is a district that is all but sure to go to a Democrat. That's an interesting race on its own, because you have an incumbent, Dan Lipinski, holding that seat right now, but we have seen, this never happens, some other sitting congresspeople who are Democrats instead endorsing Lipinski's challenger. That is a suburban woman named Marie Newman. So you have far more of a race right now in the Democratic primary in that district than you ever will in the general election, just given how that district is drawn. But of course, sure, it looks terrible. This man is a white supremacist, a Holocaust denier, and the 7 Republicans who are part of Illinois' congressional delegation all coming out and condemning him, but too late.
Another candidacy that caught my eye, and I hadn't heard much about it, is the fact that Pat Quinn is running for attorney general, for the former governor.
The Pat Quinn, it most certainly is, and I got to tell you, I think he has a pretty good chance, because there's so many candidates in that race. You have 8, and we will see. There's actually an outstanding court case that we are expecting to have resolved by close of business today, to see if one of those individuals will actually, in fact, make it on the ballot. Quinn has not gotten any sort of boost from the Democratic establishment or a lot of folks within Democratic parties. You say he's had his turn. He's run in every election since, I forget, going back to like the mid-90s. He has tried to be a candidate in Illinois time and time again, sometimes obviously with success. He was Illinois' governor, but then losing to Bruce Rauner, and people say that shows he's a flawed candidate. Move on. It's time for new energy in the party, but he certainly has that name recognition. He's holding press conferences, many that are focused on energy, going back to his roots as this consumer advocate. We'll see how that turns out. It's really a very fractured race, and you have a lot of other big-name Democrats. The endorsements from a lot of the Cook County folks going to State Senator Kwame Raoul. He is an African-American and seen really as the front runner there, but he's got a lot of opposition, not just from Quinn. You have Jesse Ruiz, Latino. There's a lot of politics there that goes on, obviously, with voters looking to support somebody from within their community, and an anti-Trump commentator who's frequently on the national news, the CNN and such, commentating about Trump's policies. That's Renato Mariotti. So we'll see how that race goes. It's a crowded, really interesting one.
Yeah, you can't discount name recognition, however. But,
no way.
Yeah, but with a lot of candidates, anything can happen. One final point. I'm assuming there is little to no chance that the legislature, the complexion, political complexion of the legislature, is going to change.
It is Democrat-dominated, and the good betting is that it will remain that way Rauner likes to talk about the opportunity to unseat Madigan by electing more Republicans so that a Republican could be the House Speaker instead of a GOP minority, that will most certainly be very difficult. Not that Republicans aren't trying, and there are some districts that could go either way, but Illinois is still seen very much as a blue state, and in these districts, particularly in the suburbs, where you saw Trump do very poorly, the expectation is that he will be a drag on the GOP's attempts to make a good dent in Democrats' majority, particularly in the House. That's where you see a lot of the races, less so in the Illinois State Senate.
Amanda Venicky, you're going to be a busy lady in the weeks and months ahead. Thank you so much for being with us.
Countdown to March 20. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Amanda Venicky of WTTW Television in Chicago. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.